Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, with the National Black Unity News. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the Simulcast, Blog Talk Radio, and other formats as well. You know, it's an honor and privilege to be with you this evening. But we're going to just have, like we always do, maybe just open discussion about this and about that. But something needs to be discussed, man, because I don't know if it's me, my age, or whatever it is, me and this media thing and what I've been seeing lately is extremely frustrating. I think I'm going to have to stop watching it. Or listening to whatever, because I see, and I've been talking about this for a long time about how media betray us, but I used to watch it just sucked to ways the way they used to do things, but now they're so up in your face, right at you, and nobody seems to do nothing about it. Or not even say too much about it. This small example, wrong and right is right. And I don't know if y'all been watching lately, but this is that young black guy who's supposed to have been beat up named Smollett, Jesse Smollett, I believe his name is. But I'm so sick and tired of seeing him on the news morning, noon, and night about that case. And like it's a major, like he killed somebody. You know, that thing to me is some type of old minor thing. That you know, but look how many them white women and white men call the police on us. How many times that you know we just sitting in a restaurant or going to a swimming pool, walking in a neighborhood, actually not only call the police, but actually we get killed for it. And they making a mountain out of this one case because a black man cried out and accused them. But when they call us out. And we hear it almost every day, just going online, and you will see some old lightweight or some young white, you know, people just calling the police on us for no reason at all. But you think they raise hell the way they're raising that over this young man? And look, now another thing, like this football players, what do you call them, guy with the cheese heads? Well, y'all know what I'm talking about, Aaron Rodgers.
Green Bay.
He lied about
Green
his shots. Kind of got slapped on the wrist. Yeah, Green Bay, yes. He gets slapped on the wrist, but here's this other brother. He do the same thing. He gets 3-day suspension. I mean, this open publicly. Nobody says nothing. Nobody does nothing, so to speak. And so now, you know, they got to the point where, you know, they are very blatant about how they portray themselves, and they daring us not to say too much about it, or there'll be some type of consequences. But in any case, I I'm getting a little upset. But you know, it's a good kind of upset because it makes you call to action, so to speak. But before we get in there, I think I better cool and hear some good news because this brother always seemed to have some good news. And Brother Satawi Jahi, I'm going to turn it over to you before I go off in here.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, there's a lot that we could go off about, man. I mean, so much stuff is happening, man. And then, you know, this daggone virus seems to always take on a new strain. And then trying to keep abreast of what's going on with that, it can be overwhelming. So I understand your frustration. Our reading for tonight, as we do each and every time we come on these airways, we do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success. That book was written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And, you know, we should definitely be thinking about how we're going to be able to become rich. As Reginald Lewis said years ago, why should white boys have all of the fun? It's a book he wrote. And Reginald Lewis, he graduated from Dunbar High School, went on to become the CEO of Nabisco, and, you know, was dominating the world of stocks and trades and stuff like that was going on. But let's get into our reading for today. December the 6th. Topic, the meter is running. Quote, you can't build a reputation on what you're going to do tomorrow. And that's from John Rogers, founder of Able Capital Management Company. Have you ever stopped to figure out the cost of a phrase? Wait a minute. For example, if you earn approximately $25,000 a year, every minute you have to wait costs 5 seconds. At $50,000 a year, costs 5 cents. At $50,000 a year, this figure doubles to nearly 10 cents a minute. And if you earn $500,000 a year, your time would be worth more than a dollar a minute. Johnson, publishing founder John H. Johnson, mentioned that he regarded every hour of his day to be worth at least $1,000. Time is priceless. Indifference to the value of time is a real tragedy. Many a wasted lives bases ruined from loss of 5 minutes. Too late can be read between the lines on the tombstones of many a man or woman who has failed. A class of sixth graders have been given a term assignment to be completed over a two-month period. The day the project was due had finally come. The instructor, seasoned teacher, was prepared to hear all types of excuses from those who had not been working steadily on their papers. She approached each student to collect their reports. Where's your report? The teacher asked the little girl in the last row. My dog ate it, the little girl replied with sad eyes. The teacher, who was used to this sort of thing, shot the small girl a state of disbelief. But the child insisted, it's true, I had to force him, but he ate it. If we don't begin to put our dreams and desires into action, they will be eaten up by procrastination and inactivity. Don't waste another minute. Read the handwriting on the wall. Pursue your goals before it's too late. Every minute of your time is precious. I would value this irreplaceable resource. Again, you know, the clock is ticking every day. We get a day older, a day closer to our demise. So it's important that, you know, we get the most out of each day. And, you know, there's a lot of different beliefs about the next life and all of that, those things. And as Vince Lewis Farrakhan always says that, hey, if you want to talk about sky doctrine, says, you know, we can talk about that. He said, but, you know, you need to deal with earth doctrine. You know, we're here on earth, and we need to get the most out of our being here while we're here on earth. So, you know, they have a saying in the Muslim world, work for this life like you're going to live forever. That means the things that you build, they should be, you should be building stuff that's going to last forever, be passed on to the next generations. Work for the next life like you're going to die tomorrow. And if you understand the significance of that, then you will realize the importance of having goals, working on them, and then making sure that they come true so that we don't pass on to the next generation the emptiness that's been passed on to us through generations before us. And it wasn't intentional by them, but it just so happened to be, it is what it is. We got what we got, and because they had got what they got. The same dog that bit them bit us. So, you know, the thing is, we need to make sure that we move forward swiftly, proactively, and every day, if it's no more than having a very simple goal, make sure that you complete a goal for that day. And, you know, and it starts off with, you know, good examples. The students at Tuskegee, when Booker T. Washington was in charge of the school, the Institute, Tuskegee University, you know, it was created and founded by Booker T. Washington. Students used to do is they would walk around with a toothbrush in their upper lapel pocket because they wanted Mr. Washington to know that they had brushed their teeth that morning. Simple habit, but one that, you know, that things get in the way and don't have those simple habits and simple routines that we do. You know, you wake up in the morning, you know, you need to make sure you take care of your personal hygiene issues and deal with that so that you have a productive day and that, you know, that your breath is smelling fresh and that you're not turning people off because you have foul breath. So, you know, it's just important that, you know, little routines can turn into tremendous things that if we don't put them in check and make sure that we have daily routines that we go through, daily things that we do to start each day. So with that, David, I'm going to turn it back over to you, brother.
All right, brother, I appreciate it. I needed that because, like I say, today is one of those days, man, and when you allow, I ain't talking about nobody, I'm talking about me, allow outside sources to take you to another level, and that's another level of control. And that's why we have to guard our minds, guard what comes into it. And, you know, just be careful with your circle. Be careful where you go, what you take in, because I've known for a multitude of years how they operate. And but sometimes, you know, people get to a point where they some old folks used to say you get sick and tired. But then you can make a decision. You can keep on taking it, keep on receiving that type of information, or you do something about it. Well, I can't speak for nobody else, but I like to think. Matter of fact, I ain't thinking. I know I'm making a difference. Because I am doing something in my small world. I am making change. And it's not fighting far with far because we don't fight that kind of way. Because a lot of us, I don't know about anybody, but that kind of fighting is not in me. You know, I couldn't sleep at night if I fought that kind of way. So therefore, they do what they do. We have to learn to do what we do. Before I came on here, like I said, my internet is kind of unstable and stuff. But in any case, before I came on here, I went to YouTube and just happened to see this footage, and it's about 45 minutes long. It's called East Side Against West Side, East Baltimore. And it doesn't say anything. All it does is drive through the city. Somebody's driving through the city of West Side in Baltimore. Then they moved over to the East Side, and they're just showing the dilapidated houses, how they rant over, I mean, neighborhoods after neighborhoods. I mean, they're just driving through the neighborhoods. And because I am a Baltimore, I recall most of those neighborhoods. And when they were vibrant, full of light, children running up and down the streets playing. People used to wash the steps. You know, you could almost eat off of them. They used to have clean blocks where people would get out there, neighbors, every Saturday morning and spruce it up, you know, no matter how. What condition of the neighborhood, but you know, people had pride in what they're doing. But the same thing with media and other circumstances, our school system, medical systems, and everything else, you can put them all together. It's so lopsided and it's so systematically terrible as far as we are concerned. As far as I am concerned. And because I don't know, if it's because they are good at what they do, or we just gave in. I saw another documentary yesterday. You know, I think it was called Eyes on the Prize on one of them public stations. And they were showing when they used to prepare students to go into those places and sit down at the camp and knowing that they were going to be abused, spat upon, kicked, beat up, the police and everything else. But they were trained to go into there to restore. You know. Can you imagine a young lady, teenagers, had that kind of strength and desire not, because they wanted change back in those days, that they were willing to take that kind of abuse. But here we are, you know, we're a little bit more educated today. A lot of people have all types of degrees. We into this, we into that. One of us became president of the United States. We in Congress. We heads of state, heads of city. And look at the conditions we are in today. You know that old saying, our people are my mothers and fathers and grandparents were turned over in their grave. They see what we are doing today. I'm talking about we as a people. Yes, we made great strides in various areas, but you know, sometimes they used to old saying is, you take one step forward and then maybe five steps backwards. And but in any case, Father, it is what it is. As I always say, they're going to do what they do, but the issue is, what are we going to do? And my grandson stopped in there late last night. He has a part-time job on the weekends. And he came in to say hello to me. And I looked at him. And for some reason, this legacy thing came upon me. What kind of world am I leaving this young man? What kind of price am I giving him? Let me see something here. Excuse me for a minute.
You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6.
But in any case, as I was checking out my grandson, those thoughts ran across my mind about the world he's coming into. And he's 16. And he's about to finish high school shortly. And I really, you know, like I say, you know, I don't know if he's prepared, his mother prepared, or I should know, you know, is he ready to go to school or is he doing great? But, you know, when he was little, I used to spend a lot of time with him, but not as he grew old, you know, but they don't live here anymore. But things like that, you know, I don't have that much access to him. But, you know, again, he's still a part of my legacy. Him and the rest. So I got about 12, 13 grandchildren. And what I seen today, and, you know, just like I said, I have a little rough, you know, rough around the edges because the media, what I was watching and seeing in the last couple of days, just those subliminal messages that came into my mind. And like I tell y'all all the time, it's the same thing from the time you get up in the morning, how we are being overwhelmed with types of some messages from media, come from all sources, music, commercials, everything. We're being bombarded, you know, and most people are sometimes not even aware of what's taking place, the mindset, because even though I call myself a soldier, a frontline soldier, but yet in the last couple of days I allow my guards to go down a little because what I seen it penetrated somewhat, but it, to me, the way I think, the way I do things, is those things that gets me upset like that, you know, it's sometimes I have to do something about it, not just sit here and get angry about it. And I question myself, what am I going to do about it? What can I do about it? How can you fight an army or enemy that massive? Got weapons of mass destruction. Got all types of gases and electronic devices that can penetrate just about anything. Know where you're going, where you've been, who you've been with and everything else. And they have all of this technology. And here I am. I have a typewriter. I mean, well, you all don't know what that is. But it was preceded their computer. But, yes, I had a typewriter. And I use what I had back in them days. Now I have computers, cell phone, just like the rest of y'all. But still, that's a foe that is so massive, not only here locally, but all over this world. They use this type of stuff. But you know, where can you go? Now, I don't know if, you know, I'm aware of Africa, but I was born here. My father was born here. My grandfather was born here. I've heard about Africa. I heard about all these other lands, but this is the only land I know. So where do I go? What do I do? And so those of you who know me, and I just want to take this time and thank Bill Gooden and Brother Cliff is on here, Michael Thomas, Vernon, Asante Storm, and Brother Satavi is with us this evening. And I'm going to need y'all help on this one because you always do, but I'm just really going to seek you this evening because I don't think, I don't have all the answers, but I do know that I'm not the type that's going to sit down and accept this kind of way of life. But I'm not going to sit down and leave this kind of stuff to my grandson, my grandchildren. I made up my mind when I was looking at him last night. I mean, this young man gonna spend, you know, the time. I don't know how much time I got tomorrow. Any problem? But the time that I do, I'm planning on spending quite a bit of time with him, even just by phone. And since they into this media thing, these phone things. You know, as I do often, I go onto YouTube. There's a lot of great information on there about this and about that. Some good, some not. But you can pick and choose what you want. But you know, sometimes you fight far with far. The stuff that's going into their mindset, you know, you can put stuff in there as well. You know, but you know, I believe they trust you more than they trust them. But they've been, but those other people has way more of a vantage. And even though they're our children, children, but they have more access to them because they control media. And so I'm going to continue to do what I do as long as I have breath in my body to use this media thing because I'm in that same thing that they are into. And I'm going to use it for, you know, for us, you know, not the way they fight because, like I said, I don't fight the way they fight. Nor do I choose to fight the way they fight. But I do believe with strategy, with determination, and most important, with that we can overcome a lot of things in this life. And it's and a never great asset if 1, 2, 3, 4 of us come together, pull our resources together, and have a power, while reason with one another, we can make change. Unfortunately, it doesn't take a lot of people to do great and wonderful things to change the country, because we have seen over throughout history that a small group of people has come together and made a great impact in this world. Small groups of people. Yeah, right, even in this country, black people. We were at Black Men's Breakfast this past Saturday. Black Men Unifying Black Men Breakfast. And we had a brother, Paul Cope, and he was the keynote speaker for that evening. A strong brother, been out there for some time, been on the front lines for some long time. But he was talking about Marcus Garvey, the impact that he made on society. And then he stood on people's shoulders as well, but he took his, you know, but he took his time and made a hell of a difference. And a lot of us, even me included, looked at what he'd done and I stand on his shoulders and many others because I saw what we can do. And so this man went up to so much during his particular time. Look what he was able to do. But see, it's difficult for somebody like a David Murphy or Bill Goodman, you know, to wake me up because, like I say, the communication was not that technical at the time. So you can get away with a lot of stuff back then. You can go underground. And you could do a lot of things back in them days. But now I don't think there's no ground that hasn't been unturned that you can go through and do these secret things of life, you know, and pull resources together. But in any case, we have to use what we have. And all we have is each other. But we do still have intellect. You know, we have a history. And hopefully, you know, we can build something for the future. And so with that being said, there's a brother on here, man, that I have a great deal of respect for because this man and wants to make a difference as well. And you know, like me, you know, I deal with the National Black Unity News, which is a publication that is solution-oriented. It's circulated nationwide and beyond. We have a group of people that generally care about us as a people. It's a publication where we care about each other. And so, we can't, because I'm living the light. You know, I'm living in unity. I'm living where people are making differences in other people's lives. So I know it can be done. There's no doubt in my mind, period. But I'm around a lot of good people with good ideas. And I'm going to bring this brother on because he has just a plan. I don't want him to explain his whole plan, anything like that. But, you know, I kind of deemed this topic tonight about legacy and what we're going to leave our loved ones, our children. What kind of condition are we going to, when we leave this earth, what kind of condition, what kind of mark are we going to make? Or attempt to make? And so, brother Michael Thomas, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir, David. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, sir.
All right, I appreciate it. Yes, sir. No, I just want you to share with people because you hear me ranting and raving about them people sometimes, and I do that quite often. You know, they say it's good to get things off your chest sometimes. It's not good to hold, especially somebody like me, because stress will build up on me, and then something go haywire. Whatever happened to most people. But in any case, you know, we're in a condition and situation in this country where I believe it was a concerted effort to keep us in a certain condition. Based on what I'm seeing, what I saw yesterday, and especially what I see today, it's a world of difference. And I'm not too pleased with it myself. But it gives me great comfort to know that brothers like you out there who are going to make, I believe is making a difference. So give people a little insight about this organization you are with called 1,000 Great Minds.
Thank you, David. Greetings, everyone.
You still with me, Bob? Okay.
Yes. First, I'd like to say, you know, what I'm doing for myself. You know, the last couple, 3 weeks, you know, I've been exercising every day because I need to strengthen my heart for the reason that you become angry about what you've been exposed to in this news. I have to strengthen my heart to even hear about that, see that, and experience that. So I exercise my heart every day because I need to strengthen my heart. And it seems as though there's a lot of ugliness, you know, that we're exposed to, and ugliness is the order of the day. And I'm under the spell of the earth, wind, and fire, who has the song named It's All About Love. And Maurice Williams in that song says, if it ain't no beauty, you got to make some beauty. Have mercy. And that's what the 1,000 Great Minds is about. It's about having mercy in an unmerciful world. It's about compassion in an incompassionate world. It's about being sensitive in a callous world, to do the extreme opposite of this ugly world to bring on the most extreme beauty. And that is the mindset of the 1,000 Great Minds, with me being the founder, that you got to think from the paradise in the 1,000 Great Minds. All this ugly stuff does not exist in it. Everything comes out of it is beauty. It is about wealth and prosperity and no lack and poverty. So 1,000 Great Minds brings this beauty that says we are living in the paradise and there's no debt there, so you have no rent or mortgage or car payments to pay. Just two essential things in life that 1,000 Great Minds is attacking, and that is the monthly rent, monthly mortgage payments, and monthly car payments. And by erasing these things from the people's slates, they have this money left whereby they can pool their money together to establish businesses on a worldwide level. I was on an interview this morning, and I was telling the lady that we should have businesses just like Starbucks. There's 5,000 Starbucks in the United States, the last I read. That's just one business. 1,000 Great Minds owns all of these businesses. We should be just like QT. people driving off the highway and leaving money in our bank, in our store, in our bank, in our wealth, like that. And to me, less than that, you know, will not suffice us as far as getting ahead in the minimum amount of time with the least amount of effort with the maximum results. So that's what 1,000 Great Minds is about, is the collective IQ of 1,000 great minds from all work and business professions from A to Z, bringing all skill sets, know-how, intellectual capital, business acumen to the table to launch this platform to wealth and lifelong security, real estate and transportation based. We have a United States Department of Transportation. It's a huge department. 20% of the gross domestic product of the United States is in automobile sales, and that's what we're taking on. By doing so, I think we can bring the beauty that can override the ugliness that we've been seeing. And finally, entertainment is getting more attention, you know, than just business. Entertainment, a guy shot had a BB gun and shot holes into a cardboard box and got 155,000 views in a week on TikTok. But those are young people. On the other hand, I looked at Candace Owens, who is very eloquent, you know, in her speech, who can get 10 million views in 12 hours on a 15-minute video. So we have to create that type of magnetism, and that's what 1,000 Great Minds is designed to do. If Candace Owens can do it herself, 1,000 Great Minds can do it. We can do it on who are on this scene right now, who are on the thing right now, but it requires a plan and a team and a little money. A plan, a team, and a little money. And so that's the a synopsis of 1,000 Great Minds. In addition to what Brother Satawi said, please allow me to say this about what Brother Satawi said about the Minister Farrakhan, about the person whose time is valued at $1,000 per minute. With 1,000 Great Minds, we get into the training of where every idea that comes out of our mind has a $2 billion minimum value, and I'm talking about producing $2 billion in a 30-day time frame. So that heightens the value of the human entity by a person that has these $2 billion ideas. Who thinks like that? Who would have thunk it? Who does that? Every idea that comes out of their mind has a value of $2 billion. Procter & Gamble back in the 80s had 50 products in the store, dishwashing detergent, soap detergent, toothpaste, all those things. That's what 1,000 Great Minds is about, bringing products to the world is going to bring money to our bank, and where we have thousands of businesses all over the planet, period. Thank you.
All right. I know. I know you was not on the last week call. We had Brother Cliff and a couple other brothers and sisters on talking about how we need to maybe just sit down. You know, we had a discussion with you about this. So all I'm going to say is prepare yourself, brother, because we're going to have a conversation real soon. You know, and so because it's time. You know, we can't sit back and just keep talking about it. We're going to have to start escalating. And, you know, it with me, let me say it this way. I know how to do things a certain way, but I do know how to do things to not to expose yourself, so to speak. You know, this call, this broadcast here, I only send this out to a few people, and I don't put it out there, the Zoom call out publicly, because, you know, as I mentioned before, or people are watching you, and they, as soon as you give it to them, they will come into the room and cause kind of havoc. But there are types of strategies for those of you there who's on a mission, and your mission to do what you desire to do. If it's singing, if it's running, I see on here we have a supply store. Office supply stores. If you have a desire to run a TV channel, write books, be political scholars, and my brother High Key on here, those who want to share love and resources to those who are in need, like Brother Rico, like Brother Cripple has all types of plans that can unite us and everything like this. There's ways that I can share. Just me, you know, I'm talking about, this is the power of us. I can share ways with you because I'm in a certain position and I understand the position that I'm in. So therefore, I won't do certain things to bring too much attention to me, period. That's why you don't see me in photo ops and a lot of things like that. You know, I don't run up there to get in them and stuff. It's not that I'm hiding either. It's just that this is a powerful system that we up against. But I can do this for you, though. I can give you, I can help you with that type of exposure to help your cause, to help your business, to help your serve. If you allow me to, I would love to share it because, like I say, the worst thing for someone like me to go to their grave with all of this knowledge, wisdom, how certain systems work. We all have our own thing, but mine just happened to be in that area of media. And there's a way, but like I say, unfortunately, it wouldn't be good for me to do it for David Murphy. And so, but people like yourself, man, if we team up, and if you allow me to sit down with you and allow me to share with you some of the things that I can assist you with, then we can reach, like you mentioned, those people on TikTok. We can reach those amount of people. But yes, we would have to do some work. It ain't going to come overnight. We really going to have to put in some work. You can't, you know, I can't do it for you, but I can do it with you, though. We can do it with each other, but, you know, it takes us and our resources. And so, again, and you know, I appreciate you, Brother Thomas, for, you know, sharing with us. But there's another young man, Brother Leroy, Dr. Leroy McKinney. Can you unmute yourself? I know you just came in, but, you know, I tell you, there's a method to my madness. And there you go.
Okay.
Brother Cliff, don't you go nowhere, sir. And Brother Bill, hold on. I need both of you, brother, this evening. Hey, Mr. Haney, how you doing, sir? And in any case, I got some soldiers up here tonight and some queens and queens, too. Yes. Yeah. Brother Leroy, how you doing, sir? Can you hear me? I know my system is a little low today. I got to use that, what they call that little thing you plug in to get more things, but I believe it's raining here or wind blowing or something. But in any case, can you hear me, Leroy?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I can't hear you for some reason.
Yeah.
Can anybody?
My Wi-Fi has been acting.
Okay, now I can hear you, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I know my Wi-Fi has been acting crazy.
So not just you, it's the area, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's because it's raining. I know it's raining.
And see, this is the reason why those of y'all who have podcasts, that's why I say if you pre-record them, we wouldn't have to go through this, you know, these type of, you know, situations. Can you hear me now? All that kind of stuff. But in any case, Brother Leroy, my system kind of slow too. But tell me something. You deal with books and you deal with a lot of podcasts and you do some stuff.
Yeah, it's going in and out.
Serious networking. Because, you know, I watch you. You know, you out there. You public, yeah, okay. So, I just want you to speak. I want you to speak on, if you can hear me, about the services you provide with people. Because several people called me this week. It was really concerning how can they get their books published, and not only get them published, but help get them circulated. Can you give a little bit of advice about the operation of starting that kind of system and what a person should do? Because there's a lot of people who need that information.
And a marketing.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Because. Okay. I'm having a difficult time hearing you, sir. But
yeah.
I'm gonna get back to you. Maybe things will get a little better as the podcast move forward. Brother Bill, can you hear me, sir? Hey Bill, you have to unmute yourself. Okay,
Yeah, okay, can you hear me?
But in any case, yes.
Can you hear me?
Sir, I got you now.
Yeah.
And Bill, yes, sir. No, I just want to ask you, you know, I want you to share with people, you know, you've been out there probably as long as I have on the front lines fighting for unity in so many different ways, protesting, writing books, networking. You're the founder of the National Black Unity News. That was your idea. Came up with me to start a paper, Black Men Unifying Black Men. Been around 90-something months consecutively. And tell me something from your perspective. You see what time of day it is. You see what we're going through, what we've been through. What would you suggest to us from this day forward, moving forward? We can't go back yesterday. Didn't change anything, but today we can make some changes. So what would you suggest from your perspective that we should do?
Well, you know, to be honest, Dave, let me just say good evening to everybody. And I mean, you know, it's really simple, but it's so simple that it's real hard, right? Because, I mean, you know, and Cliff say it all the time, you know, if everybody's staying in lane, you know, you keep us saying that you're a media person. Hey, if that's who you are, that's who you are. You know what I'm saying? If we got business people, you know what I'm saying? I mean, our thing is that how can we come under the umbrella? You know what I'm saying? How can everybody stay in their lane and contribute and unify? You know what I'm saying? That's our recipe. So, I mean, it's not that it's that hard. I think the problem is that so many things have happened to us that keep us from really being able to come together under the spokes, as Cliff talked about, or when we talk about unity, for the real unity to happen. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, a lot of times, you know what I mean, just like, people have egos. People say, look, I got the best idea there is. Look, man, all of us got good ideas. You know what I'm saying? But let's bring them all to a tent. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, even if we have to, if we got 100 people, we have to vote on the 5 issues. If it's 5 issues that we take, let's make a commitment to working on 5 issues to see some progress, right? So once we start seeing some progress, we start building like that. You know, and I just think that's the way that we need to go. I mean, you know, everybody got something to contribute, no matter how small you think it is, how large you may think it is. You need to find your lane and stay in your lane and be able to connect with people so we can expand our whole vision.
Okay, I appreciate that, sir. Hey, Brother Cliff, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. Just as I was starting to think I was going to be able to take advantage of the opportunity to sit through an entire entire meeting without opening my mouth. Okay.
No. You know better than that. But in any case, now you know a lot of people. We had a couple of people share already. And, but you know, we had a conversation last week where we were discussing, let's just say spokes and how we, us black people, melanated people, find ourselves, now we're in a condition today, I don't know about how anybody else feel about this, but it bothers me greatly to see how we live, how we treat each other, and how we accept anything that's kind of being tossed at us. And it's and from the outside looking in, on the inside looking out, it looks as if we have given up, given in, we just surrender. This is it. This is the way it's going to be. Ain't too much we can do about it. So we're just going to, you know, I'm going to get mine as much as I can get, and that's it. But, you know, it's difficult me because, like I say, I'm a gentleman. I'm up to 70 years old now, and I've seen in my time unity. I've seen how brothers and sisters stood together. I've seen when young people sit at counters got beaten, spat upon. I've seen when brothers picked up weapons and took care of their communities. I've seen a time, even when there was an honor amongst thieves, where certain people, I don't care if you were selling drugs, whatever, there's certain things you wouldn't do in the community. And so, but now it seems like it's no kind of cohesiveness that's taking place. But, you know, I told you I've been there, here, there, and a whole lot of places. But the system is, and it's not your system, because like I said, I stand on the shoulders of so many people. All we do is take the baton and continue to run with it. You know, it's a lot of great ideas, but it's not too many new ideas, not too many thoughts. Because, you know, many people thought about us as a people. Even when we was in Africa, there were tribes, we, you know, survive and look out for one another. But getting back to you, sir, this powwow, this meeting that we were talking about last week, have you have any insight on that?
Well, I guess I'll start from a slightly more generalized perspective. And that was just a couple of things popped into my head when you were speaking earlier. And it seems that we as a people, by and large, have allowed ourselves to be programmed with an erroneous concept in at least four specific areas: citizenship, democracy, struggle, and of course, unity. Our understanding of citizenship is skewed because to us, you're not a good citizenship unless you're waving that red, white, and blue flag. But there are a number of us who see ourselves as, say, citizens of the world, or we're citizens of the Pan-African diaspora. And there's a certain amount of responsibility we have toward those entities as well. But a lot of us think citizenship just means that you do whatever your political leaders, however malevolent they may have been to you in the past, tell you to do. The second issue is a misunderstanding of the concept of democracy. Too many of us in the United States in particular think that democracy is just going to the polls every 4 years and casting a vote to an individual or political leader who we don't see for the first 3.5 years of their term. But when their term is coming up and it's time for them to be reelected, all of a sudden they're all over the television, they're all out on the front lawns, and then we go and we cast a vote for them either because of the D or the R behind their name or because of something that they may have said that they may never have actually done while they were in office. There are certain countries, I think Grenada used to be this way under Maurice Bishop before the United States went in and took him out. But from what I had heard from a gentleman named Don Rojas, who had at one time lived in Grenada, and he has been involved with Pacifica Radio and a number of other things, that in Grenada, at least for a period of time, democracy wasn't just about going to the polls every 4 years and voting. There were citizens' assemblies that were held, and you were expected as a citizen to go to these citizens' assemblies and state what your issues were and actually take part in determining the path of the country, take part in the governance of the country. Whereas here in the United States, of course, you've got people who are in Congress and in the Senate right now who are essentially pushing the country in directions that all of the popular polls say that the majority of American citizens are not interested in going in, but and it's because of the fact that they have amassed political power and they gerrymander and play all these little tricks with district borders so as to maximize their power with a minimum of votes. So we have a skewed idea of what democracy means, and as a result, we are often democratically electing people who rule us in an undemocratic way. The notion of struggle. Many of us take a look at all the weaponry that the United States possesses. Oh, yeah, we can't take them on straight up in a struggle because they've got all the guns. They've got the police cars and the helicopters and the military and all. We can't take them on like that. But not to encourage any of us to go down this particular route, but a lot of terrorist organizations saw that they were outgunned, outmanned, and many of the things, what they did is they used what they call asymmetrical warfare. If you are smaller than your opponent, that means you are more nimble and you are quicker. If your opponent is bigger than you, that means they're slower and they're not so quick to react. And so what they would do is they would launch a number of sneak attacks. Now, that's one way to do it. And another way to do it is to organize your people in ways outside of, say, for instance, straight up taking them on in some kind of military or terroristic warfare. That's what developing our own media sources is about. That's what grassroots community work is about. That's what community town halls and that sort of thing about. And there are other things that you can do that don't involve having to directly take on your opponent where they are strong. You take them on where they are not strong. You don't have to engage in unscrupulous or violent or even illegal activity in order to do this. It just requires a little bit of imagination and commitment to carry it through. The fourth thing that we misunderstand is the concept of unity. Too many of us, when we scream that black people in particular are not unified, and then you ask them to meet with other organizations to hammer out some kind of a way to cooperate with each other, they'll say, well, I'm not going to unify with that one because they believe this, that, or the other. Or they'll say, well, what specific issues shall we unify around? Or they will say, we need to have ideological clarity or ideological purity, or ideology is important. And too often when I hear people say that, then shortly after that, what I hear coming out of their mouths is not that they're upset that black people aren't unified. Their problem often, not always, but often is that black people will not do as they say. In other words, I'm not going to come together with you because you won't obey me. You insist on doing things your way, and I insist that you do things my way. And as long as you want to do things your way and I want to do things my way, and those two ways are different, well, we've got nothing to talk about. So in other words, I can't learn anything from you. I can't pick up any wisdom from you. I can't sit and talk with you and figure out a way that your way of doing things and my way of doing things might work to each other's benefit. No, it's that you have to do as I tell you, or else we can't come together. And every time I would go out into my yard in the spring, I would see examples even in nature about how that doesn't work. Now, sometimes it does work that way. The fox wants to eat the deer. Okay, the fox is going to eat the deer or the groundhog, whatever, and that's it. But you go out and you take a look at your crepe myrtle tree. Your crepe myrtle tree is growing. It's doing its thing. What do you find oftentimes setting up shop and residence inside that crepe myrtle tree? You'll find a spider sitting there inside that crepe myrtle tree. Is that spider doing anything to the crepe myrtle tree? No. As a matter of fact, the spider is helping to keep that crepe myrtle tree pest free. So the spider is feeding itself, but at the same time, it's keeping pests away from that crepe myrtle tree. So that's what scientists and biologists call mutualism, where two different organisms are able to live in the same space to each other's benefit. And for some reason, when we talk about coming together as organizers and activists, this whole concept of mutualism seems to escape us. And I think it's because we have been fed this organizational notion of the zero-sum game. If I gain something, that means you have to lose. If my way is followed, that means you have to do as I say. And that's what's kept us from coming. That's one of the things that have kept us from coming together for a long, long time. And it gets wrapped up in stubborn, rigid ideological thinking, and it gets wrapped up in ego. And we've got to find a way to get away from that kind of thinking. Once we do, then we can start to pass that more positive, that more constructive type of thinking in the areas of citizenship, democracy, struggle, and unity. We can pass those things on to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation instead of this defeatist notion of, well, we can't do anything because you can't fight City Hall, or the cops got too many guns, or we're never going to come together because we never have. And much of that is lies. but they're lies that we've been fed for so long that now we have begun to internalize them. And then whenever we try to push back on it, 1619 Project, critical race theory, our enemies come out against us and they try to stop us. And they want to stop us because they know once we learn the truth, they can't hold us down anymore. So,
all right. I appreciate this, sir, as always. And let me say this, too. You know, there's another gentleman. I don't know if you care to speak, but I'm going to say about working with people. Now, I often tell you that we here in the United States, we own less than 1% of the media. Even all these voices, all of these podcasts, radio, TV shows, you take all that and lump us all together. But here we are in this great nation of our opportunity. We own less than 1% of the media. So that means that we don't have that much of a voice. So pretty much everything that we are taking in coming from outside resources. And unfortunately, like I said, I've been publishing newspaper for over 40-something years. And I remember when Ms. Bramble started her paper, and I was one of the first ones to offer her hand. I recall reaching out to other people. Some people used to call me up and say, I'm going to start a publication. I helped quite a few people in this town start it. People, they didn't last that long. But, and people sometimes, you know, they accepted my help. But the strange thing I find is when someone come to you and you're doing a good thing or something that they admire and they want to assist you, we have so many defense mechanisms set up that we so fearful of one another that we won't even accept each other's blessings and each other's help. And I'm the type of person, you know, because like I said, I believe, at least I try to live by divine inspiration. And so when I see another person who's out there who's trying to make a difference, who are making a difference, you know, I will lend them my support. And I know they think it's strange. What's up? You know, they used to remember that old saying, be careful of people bearing gifts, you know. And I can understand because there's a lot of sharks out there, a lot of snakes and a whole bunch of stuff out there. You got to be extremely careful. But sometimes you can't be so careful that your fist is so closed that you can't open your hand to receive a blessing. And so, but there's this brother on here. I don't know if he cared to speak or not, but I'm going to let him know because I just want to say this openly and honestly, not just him. It could be anyone out there. And most of you people who know me, I do the same thing with you. If you have a service or business and you're doing something to uplift us as a people, then I'm in you. I'm pretty much for you. And I'm willing to give you my services or to assist you the best way I can to help you succeed. Because I believe when I do that, I succeed because my mission is you. That's why I call myself a servant of servant. My mission is to help us as a people. And it evidently is, because I've been doing it for 40, 50 years now, and I cannot. I tried many occasions to say, to hell with this. I'm going to look out for me. But no, this is too much. These people ain't acting right. You know, and all that. No, but every time I try, there's no peace. None whatsoever. So here I am again. And I'm going to die this way. I done made up my mind. Ain't no turning back. But Mr. Michael Haney, how you doing today? Tonight, if you care to unmute yourself, because here's a brother who does a lot of things. He's multi-talented, but he decided lately to take on a podcast. And he has a very nice man. In fact, I'm a faithful listener now because he brings on some very significant people with some very significant ideas, and it's very informative. Excuse me for a minute. But in any case, it's very informative, and it's life. The intellect is great, and I learned a lot because I'm always a student. So, Mr. and he introduced me to a young lady that I think will be forthcoming in the next episode of his podcast. So, Mr. Mike Haney, how you doing tonight?
Hey, man. Bill,
can you share a little bit about the podcast, sir?
Yeah, Dave, thank you very much, man. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate Brother Bill sharing. I appreciate Cliff sharing. Everyone sharing. But I got to admit, I'm tired, man. I'm tired of 63. I heard you said 70. I got attention deficit disorder. So I'm playing around with my background, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I've got this anxiousness about what I need to be doing, you know, because, you know, I have done more over the course of my life to harm myself than anybody could do. If some people had done to me what I've done to myself over the course of time, I probably would have killed them. And I say that to say that as we look at our community and are we ready, because at a point, you know, talk is cheap and we got to ante up. And if we're not willing to die for something, then it's not significant for us to even be having a conversation. You know, I can't imagine being told I can't sit somewhere and get up, nigga, you know, what are you doing here? As during Dr. Martin Luther King's time, Medgar Evans' time, and the hundreds of black people that look like us, that fought for us, and the ability to be treated as human beings, died at young ages. And here I'm at 63, about to go back in that same direction. There's nothing to say. There's nothing to say. There's something to do. So from week to week that we're having conversation and tangible, measurable, quantifiable, actionable plans, even if it's just one, to I heard someone mention maybe just a couple, mark progress. Because I'm tired. And I'm my own worst enemy. So forget the enemy that may exist, because I only let them allow, they only do what I allow them to do to me. And when I stop allowing them to do things to me, because I step to them in the right way, maybe it's at the boardroom table. I was the first black general manager in the state of North Carolina running hotels. I got called niggas every day, but the people brought their business to me that looked like us and made me successful, and they hated it. Right? So I did a lot of things around the boardroom table, you know, because I said I deserved a seat to find out and infiltrate how people were and how they act. So I know the enemy. If we look at that as the enemy, other people of other races and how they treat us, because we're going in a direction where we're rolling back time of how we're treated as human beings by at least 30 or 40 years, at least back to the 60s and 50s. I don't know about you, but it's not acceptable to me. And there's not too much I need to say about how I feel, how you treat me. It's a matter of what I am going to do. And I personalize this to me, because if 10 of us in the room and we all personalize it to it and we figure that that's a common cause and a common good, we'll figure out a way to come together to figure out what the actionable, measurable plan is from a week-to-week, day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute basis that we are moving forward. Actionable. I don't want to die leaving my grandkids and my kids a condition that is worse than it was when I got here, given the work that people that did before I got here to allow me to have what I have. And I'll shut up in a couple of minutes, David, but, you know, to just let you feel my emotion and my willingness to sacrifice whatever. My youngest grandchild is 3 years old. I'm 63. If they live to where it is that I'll live to, they've got 60 more years to go. What am I going to leave them? What am I going to leave them that if it's that significant, I'm not afraid to die for it? And that's the ultimate. So anything before that, what are we talking about? It's time to go to work. It's time to look in the mirror, spend 5 minutes with myself. Let me keep it real to me. spend 5 minutes to myself and do a deep soul search. Because maybe I'm too comfortable because the lights are on, the electricity there, the car's running, got a couple of dollars. Yeah, I see what's going on. But as long as I'm warm, do I really care to hop on this every Monday night and hash out what we already know? Because the more we talk a hole in our head versus taking what we know and figuring out a strategy of where we want to go. So I'm going to shut up with that, man. And, you know, my podcast for 30 seconds this coming Sunday, because, man, I go around saying to people, happy Kwanzaa, right? I didn't for so long know what the hell it meant, man, because I have been I've been infiltrated with Christmas and baby Jesus, right? So people say happy Kwanzaa during this time, et cetera. So it's a bunch of me like that, you know, faking it to what we know in our community and what we don't know. And the education process to what you spoke of that media should allow us to do for our people so that we can understand our commonalities and share strategies and truthful information is what I hope to accomplish in just giving people the basic essence of Kwanzaa. So when they meet another person that looks like them and they say happy Kwanzaa, they don't feel ignorant with a PhD not really understanding the tenets or the basics of it. Just we have complicated stuff so much and we have this facade built in front of us that we're afraid to admit what it is we know or we don't know. You know what I'm saying? So David, thank you so much. I love you. I love all the brothers on here, but you know it's time to go to work.
Yes, sir, I agree. It's time. We can talk. We have plenty of talks. But, you know, I appreciate you, Mike. I appreciate you, Cliff. Michael Thomas, of course, my man Bill Gooden, who already shared this evening. And I'm going to open up the door. You know how they used to say in the church, I'm open up the door to the church. So anybody cared to share before we get off air? And Brother Leroy, Dr. Leroy, for sharing. And anybody else, if you don't want to share something before we get off these airways, because your voice is extremely important. Your gifts and your talents are extremely important. And, you know, we got, like the old saying, you got to take them baskets off your head and let that light shine, and because your service, the gift that God has blessed you with, can and will make a difference.
Hey.
So if you want to share something before we leave these airways, because like I say, words do not come back void. I know that voice.
Yep, this is Eartha Harris.
Wait, come on in.
Hey, I'm down here in Miami, Florida, mm-hmm. chilling out, so I got a chance to hit the David Mercy Zoom. I love all of it, David. You know, my heart is there. That's why we're called Tight-Knit. We talk about solutions and opportunities. I want to know, again, how we can come together and help each other. So I'm doing an event January the 16th at the garage. The reason why I'm doing that event is sometimes we need to also slow down, stop, and give that energy of support. So the event is going to be called The Dreamers. Why? Because it's the Martin Luther King weekend. And one of the things they always play when the Martin Luther King holiday come around is that I had a dream speech. But again, Biggie Small had a dream, you know, saying it was only a dream, and all the other dreamers. So we're going to give an event called The Dreamers, and just really hopefully if you have an opportunity or anybody else on the call have an opportunity to come in the room and just share the energy and share the support that we all need to give each other. I seen a video on social media. It said that when you're born in this world, you're born into a world of energy. And it all depends on what you do with that energy that makes a difference. So sometimes we need to energize ourselves and get out here and fight this good fight. We have the radio show, and last Saturday, we actually was blessed because the former co-host of the Big Fat Morning Show, Mark Clark, actually came on and hosted the radio show for us. But he told his story how he was doing an event called The Reinvention of Mark Clark. And that brings me to remind me, David, that some of us been in this thing so long, doing this for so long, and we do have to use some tools and some strategies to reinvent what we've been doing for for so long get more effective. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to partner with him, and I'm happy to partner with the Black Unity newspaper and any other media or any other podcast. So eventually we will be strong enough and more powerful enough to have a force that can disseminate the information to our people to make sure that they're getting the information to provide them with solutions and opportunities. So, yay!
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had to say.
All right, my sister, I appreciate you because you are a true soldier. All right, you're a true soldier, and I appreciate you. Anyone else, before we shut down, and because I'm like Mike Haney, man, you know, I'm tired of this and I'm tired of that, and I do have to look at myself in the mirror. And I know I've done some things, but like I said, I know I haven't done enough too. But that's yesterday. But today, things are more serious than ever in my life now. Like I said, I got work to do, and I'm going to do the best of my ability because, like I said, I cannot lay my head down at night and knowing that we're in this type of condition. But the beauty about it is, if you have not heard yet, just on this podcast, just this evening, you heard from several people. Yes, they said some nice and wonderful, it sounds real good, nice and wonderful thing. But what you don't know, maybe you do, maybe you don't know, but these people are not just talking. They walking it. You know, they ain't just sitting around there saying, we should do this, we should do that. They living it. They fighting. Now, I don't know how much of a fight they putting up, but I do know they putting the effort in. And sometimes that's what it takes. I put my effort in, you put yours in, and then maybe, like I said, we can sit down and reason together, but we're going to have to do something. And we better do it quickly. This is not a drill, ladies and gentlemen. This is warfare. This is serious stuff that we're embarking upon. And for those of you who have that faith-based thing, you know, it's time. You know, these airwaves that I'm talking about, media, there's so much power in that. So much power. And I'm not going to get into that. But in any case, before we close out, anyone else would like to say some words? But before I do say, you know, anybody else come on, I know he does not speak openly, but his work speaks for him, and that's Brother Rico Crowley, who have God-given hands, who's out there feeding the homeless, putting clothes on their back, feeding them and giving them resources. And so I appreciate you, brother man, because I appreciate what you do. And you're not a talker, but you're a door man. And like I say, everybody only that I see on here are true workers, and God has blessed y'all with y'all gifts. And you did not sleep on those gifts because y'all using these gifts, y'all putting them to work. And this is why I'm so excited about life as well. You see, I have my eyes been opened, and I've seen what others have done to us and will continue. They do that. That's what they do. But I've been blessed to see us. I've been blessed to be around people like you all with gifts and talent. And not only do you have the gifts, but you're willing to share your gifts and talent. You're willing to fight, and the majority of you, like I said, y'all so serious about you even willing to die for it. And so, you know, and so to me, it's no more excuse, none whatsoever, because we have everything we need, everything, but we just need to sit down and reason together. And so with that being said, anyone going twice, once, three times, forever hold your peace, but we will be back there, God willing, next week, next Monday at 7:30, and we will be on tomorrow. If you want to find out a little bit more about the National Black newspaper, how you can get involved with it, it's still time. And let me say this to y'all in closing about this National Black Unity newspaper. Yes, it has made great strides since its inception, and it's a great example of how unity works. Like I said, it's a collaboration of like-minded people who have taken their resources, because we pay for this paper. We don't ask for outside resources. We pay for this paper ourselves. Each person contributes to it, and that's how we're able to keep this publication going. And the second thing is, we also have an opportunity to educate those who will read this publication. We give them resources that may hopefully will enhance their quality of life. And so, but you, and I'm talking about the people who on here, that those who listen to us on Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio, and if you hear my voice, if you're sincere about helping us to help ourselves, and you want to get your word out not only locally but nationwide and beyond, then you might need to give me a call. Let's talk together. Let's just sit down and reason together, because this paper is not for everybody. We do not allow people. If it's all about me, myself, and I. We, you know, I'm the publisher, and I do have a gift, and it's called discernment. And you know, I'm not going to let nobody in there if it's all about me, myself, and I. But if you have a heart and willing to serve our people with great products, great services, and information, then we need to talk. And we're easy to get along with, but it's a prime example how unity can work, because it's been working some time. And like I said, I've been around for a long time, and I've met a lot of wonderful people, but for the first time in my life, I don't know, maybe like by divine inspiration or motivation, whatever, but for the first time in my life, I'm around a group of people that I'm so comfortable with, that I can roll up my sleeve up and work with, but not only that, get on the front line with you, get right deep and down and dirty, however you want to call it, soldier with you. Because I know your heart, and I've been knowing some of you so long, 40 and 50 years, and I know how you are. I know you've been working, because I've watched you. I was there with most of you. And so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, with much love and respect, yeah, we're going to continue to talk, because it takes communication, but we need to sit down and work with one another. But another thing about me and us on here is this. We are true workers, and we are working with one another. We're sharing information with one another. We support one another. And every journey begins with a first step, and we're on the road. And most of us, like I say, we've been tried, and we've been true. And we stayed the course, no matter what obstacles that we had to overcome or had to endure. But ladies and gentlemen, like I say, this is not a drill. This is warfare. So much is at stake, and I'm not going to get into all of that because you already know what's at stake. But there is hope, because we really don't have any more excuses, because we have the plans, we have solutions, we have each other. But the only thing we need to do is just sit down and do it. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I bid you all a good night, and I appreciate each and every one of you. This is serious stuff, man. But again, Brother Cliff, you know what time it is, and so you know. So hopefully next week we will have a date and time for that summit, for that powwow, where we're going to try to at least bring in us. And it's all we need. We don't need a whole lot of other people, just us then. And we need to have that conversation. And once we had that conversation, you know, there's no more talking. You know, just, you know, and like Harry and Thomas said, you know, some people going to have to leave behind. You just can't fake. You just can't take them. You know, but those who will, who want it, and know what it's all about, we adore it. So thank you. Thank each and every one of you. And I appreciate you all. And I'm going to bid you a pleasant good night, and hope to see you tomorrow at 7:30. And we will send information out to some of you that about the National Black Unity. All right. Good night. Take care.
Thank you, David. Love you all.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
And gentlemen.
All right. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Okay, good night, good night, good night. Catch us again next week, same time, same station, same place. National Black Unity News Podcast, Monday nights at 7:30 until about 9. All right, take care.